you very much. This is Mathieu Veit, the CCNSO appointed co-chair. Welcome everyone to our meeting number 52. And as usual, I'd like to start with a roll call. We will use the Adobe Connect to record participants and members that attended the meeting. We have apologies from Bara Cotieno and Susan Rattle. And I'd like to call for any member or participant who is on audio only at this stage. And we've had word that Kavus Araste was on audio only. I don't know if he's joined, but if others are on audio only, please make yourselves heard right now so we can put your name on the list. Okay, so with that, is there any update on statement of interest? No, seeing none. I think we are going to be able to get this call rolling. You'll have the agenda on in the AC room, and the first comment I'd make was that it's, I think, very good at this point that our group reconnects, regroups, reconvenes. And we've had an agenda which is open for discussions about some of the next steps we're facing at a point where we are only a few days before the end of our second public comment. And as a consequence, we need to get ready for the action that is waiting for us in the next few days, as if there was no action in the last few weeks. But the first substantial agenda item is going to be chaired by Thomas. And before handing over to Thomas, I'd like to present apologies from Leon, who is taking a few days rest, well-deserved rest. So you won't hear Leon's soothing voice on this call, unfortunately, but only Thomas and I. So, Thomas, up to you for agenda item number two.
Thanks very much, Leon, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you on the call. The second agenda item is called Board Interaction and Next Steps. And those of you who have attended the two sessions that we had with the board last week, and those of you who have read the email threads on the list will have noticed that at times the discussion has been a little bit high-handed and that there has been some controversy and some robust discussion going on. And we would like to continue the discussion with this group and maybe take stock of what we heard to the extent we can, and also briefly discuss how to best continue with this. Before we open it up for comments, I would really like to make some opening remarks. And those that have been on the two calls will notice that what I'm saying now pretty much resembles my opening statement for these two board interactions. And that is that our group has been working in a spirit of being very open to criticism as well as to suggestions. As you will remember, we have worked on a requirements basis, and we looked at what the requirements are that we need to have in place in order to establish a better accountability system in ICANN, and then look at the implementation model to achieve or operationalize these accountability requirements. Our group has presented a different reference model in its first report than it has in the second report. And the change of reference model was to a huge extent due to the fact that we received information from board members who said, well, have you really thought about the risk of derivative lawsuits and the risk of statutory rights being exercised by individual members, and that could be an unintended consequence? And our group took that to heart and adjusted. And so when we opened up for this public comment period, we also said we appreciate input from the community and input from the board. And I guess for the board, our group has chosen a slightly different approach than for the rest of the community, or at least we've pointed it out more to the board. What we said is, don't only criticize, but please do also come up with alternative solutions so that we don't only have negative feedback, but constructive input that we can assess in our group and take into consideration. And what happened last week is exactly that. So despite all the perceived negative energy that was on these calls, and despite the pushback that some of our group provided orally as well as in written form, I think we should remind ourselves that we're working towards a common goal, and we're trying to achieve the same thing. We might have different approaches to this, but I think we should take the board input as a good faith attempt to help take our suggestions to the next level. And at the moment, and I guess that's maybe the unfortunate part of the board's call with our group, at the moment we don't have sufficient detail in order to really assess what the niceties, what the details of the board's suggestions and concerns are. So basically our perception was that the board had identified gaps in our proposal, but it comes up with its own suggestions that are even more patchy than what we've offered. So we got word from the board and those who have read the second blog post, which was only issued, I think, today, know that something's on its way. So we can expect written input from the board, particularly highlighting the areas where the board is in agreement with what we're doing, and hopefully that expression of agreement will be unambiguous and unconditional, because I guess what some of us felt when we listened to the board is that they spoke about agreement while actually coming up with variations of our proposal. So I guess at the moment it's too early to dismiss or abandon what the board has come up with. I think we should give it due deference. We should remain open-minded to good faith criticism that's offered to our group. So we should not prematurely become defensive. Nonetheless, I think we should be proud of what we have achieved. But I think we should wait for the board's written input and carefully analyze what the board has suggested. As you know, the board members have spent countless hours with us. They've spent more hours in a workshop in Washington, and they've spent a lot of time discussing and evaluating what we did. And I think that's something that also deserves our appreciation and thanks. Having said that, what we mustn't lose out of sight, and I guess this is something that we really need to make clear to the rest of the community, we are still in a public comment period. We don't want to discourage any community member from providing their comments because they think that this exercise might be moot given the input that we get from the board. Far from it. We should see the board as a community member with a special role in this, and therefore we offered the exchange of thoughts which took place. But all community feedback, all community input is welcome and will be treated with the same respect and diligence as we did all commenters after the first public comment period. So let's really try to emphasize this with the rest of the community that they should still comment, that we will review the board's input as we would and as we will their input. And after a careful analysis of all the inputs that we receive, we will then make a determination as a group in defining, confirming, redefining whatever the consensus positions in this group, but only after we've done all that. So I think after these opening statements, I would like to give the opportunity to all of you on this call to chime in, go on record with some of the statements that might not only inform our group, but also the board. And if I could, I would like to ask you maybe to focus on the areas where you can sense that the board's feedback could be of value to us. I think it would make sense for our group to be responsive and maybe even write a little note to the board to help them navigate their way in this process as well. So I think I should stop here. Please do raise your hands, or if you're on the audio bridge only, please let me know and you will put into the queue. So I understand that Jordan Carter, who's only on the audio bridge, would like to speak. So we have Jordan and then Steve.
Thanks, Thomas. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you all right.
Okay, I apologize for the audio quality. I'm in an echoey place. Thank you for your intro, Thomas. I pretty much agree with everything you've said. As I said on an email on the list, any change process does cause discomfort, and since the ICANN board is at the core of this change process in a lot of ways, it's not surprising that things felt a bit uncomfortable last week, and that's fine. It's just a human reaction. In terms of positives, I can't really work out what they are until I've seen the details, so hopefully that'll come soon. But I did have one suggestion or question, which was whether, with some of the concerns raised, it might be worth having some smaller group chats. For example, there's still obviously some concern about the budget power that I still feel is kind of a miscommunication or a misunderstanding. There may be ways that with a sort of intense direct dialogue with a couple of directors and a couple of WP1 members, we could have a much better way of doing it, or a new insight about how to discuss it or describe it that reduces concerns. So I just wanted to put that on the table, understanding it's a bit tricky because we don't want to be seen to be giving the board undue influence over the process. As long as it was an open discussion, though, I think that might be all right. So that's just a concrete, hopefully constructive suggestion about what we might do.
Thanks very much, Jordan. And I would like to encourage everyone else to chime in on that proposal to maybe offer discussions amongst a few that are that have become experts on the budget community power over time. Steve.
Thanks, Thomas. Steve Del Bianco with the CSG. In setting aside the board's counterproposal and the process of that, I think it would be so constructive if the board and their Jones Day team were very explicit about where they saw risks or stresses in our proposed solution. It's not helpful to say that there are unfinished details or unresolved items. That's too vague for us to really be able to react to, and it ends up making us perhaps unduly suspicious that the board just has a general and vague concern and wants to keep the status quo. I, for one, am very open to learning from criticisms. For instance, I'm no lawyer at all, and most of you know that, but I feel like I learned a lot when the lawyers on CCWG would discuss the risks of statutory rights under California law and how they might enable a single ACRSO to work mischief, right? And that informed us, and we acted on that when we came up with the second reference model. Well, I'd like the same level of detail and education to come from Jones Day and ICANN's board to the extent they agree, so that if they identify concerns, that they share them with us, not just share them internally within ICANN or with NTIA, but share them with us so that we're able to react appropriately. And that could be done much sooner than waiting for them to flesh out all the details on their counterproposal. You see, I think we've put too much weight on asking ICANN to put details on their proposal, and we'll lose the fact that they could probably this week could give us the details about where they think there are risks and problems in our model. Give us a chance to digest that while they work on fleshing out the details in their proposal. So that'd be my proposal, Thomas. Thank you.
Sorry, I was talking to a muted microphone. Thank you very much, Steve, who didn't leave me speechless, obviously. Anne had raised her hand. Anne, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you very much, Thomas. And in the spirit of talking with the board and being cooperative and being able to receive the concerns that they are raising, I don't know if there are board members on this call. I assume because we have a couple of them in the group that they are, but I think that it's unhelpful for the board to state that this working group is, quote-unquote, changing the model, because what we know to be the stakeholder model is by the work of this group, and I'm a latecomer on this, obviously, but the hard work that's been done by all of the principal members really sustains and strengthens the stakeholder model. And when we talk about the model within ICANN, we're talking about the multi-stakeholder model. So I think it would be appropriate for us to request that the board not treat the working group's proposal as a proposal that changes the model. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Anne. And there's a question in the chat from Keith Drazek. Have the CCWG's legal counsel spoken yet with ICANN Legal and or Jones Day? I recall there was agreement on the last call to initiate that conversation. I can confirm that a call has taken place. I think that the call primarily informed Jones Day and certainly also our lawyers of the thoughts of the respective sites, and I trust that this information will go into the further deliberations by the board. I'm not sure whether Holly or Rosemary would like to add a little bit of color to this. I mean, certainly what we try to avoid is to have a fight of the lawyers over the best potential model, but this was more to inform. So I'm not sure, Holly or Rosemary, whether you would like to briefly speak to this, but if you do, certainly I would suggest that we do not do any value judgments of the proposals that that have been discussed amongst you.
But certainly, this is Holly, and I'm happy to give a little bit of color, although I have to say I don't have a lot of information. Rosemary and I joined the call with Jones Day Lawyers and with ICANN Legal. It was a very cordial call. We indicated that we looked forward to having a better understanding of what the board is thinking about in terms of the proposal, and that we look forward to getting more information and receiving any of the legal analysis that Jones Day has done on the point. Jones Day indicated to us that they haven't done legal analysis, that they've been relying on the legal analysis that we've provided, and that they, you know, are not in any kind of disagreement with the legal analysis that we've provided to date. And so we essentially left it that in the next few days they would provide to us, when they had it, more specificity around what it is that the board is thinking, so that we'd be able to assess it and provide you with our thoughts around it. And we left it at that, but we have not yet received anything. We also agreed that there would be another call this week, and we haven't yet heard anything about when that call might happen. So I'm afraid it's not a lot of additional information. But Rosemary, I don't know if you have anything that you'd like to add to that.
Thanks very much, Holly. Rosemary, would you like to add to that? You don't have to, but I'd like to give you the opportunity. So you can get back into the queue at a later stage if you'd like to. There's been a question in the chat about transcripts or recordings of these calls. I guess we would need to check this, but I guess it was our intention, and I hope that you share this view, that we didn't want the discussion between the lawyers to be a battle of experts, but it was to inform and educate about the respective views in order to ensure there are no counter proposals or that there is no criticism that is rooted in misunderstandings of the respective positions. So I'm not sure whether any recordings or transcripts would help achieve this goal, but at least that was my recollection of why this discussion was supported. Holly, I'm not sure whether that's an old hand or a new hand.
It's an old hand, but to that point, there was not a discussion on the call about whether or not someone was recording the call, although there were folks from ICANN Legal on. I should have asked a question about whether or not it was being recorded, and I apologize for not thinking of the point. We can certainly check with ICANN Legal whether someone was recording the call. I think if they were, they would have specified it to us. I can assure you that it was a very cordial call and that there was no sort of war of the experts, and indeed there was no need for it because they very quickly said that they were relying on the analyses that we had provided, that they didn't see anything, they didn't have any questions about the value of that advice, and that they knew that there was work that they needed to go back to do to help better understand the board's proposal in light of the legal analysis that's been provided to the community to date, but that work hadn't been undertaken yet.
Thanks very much. Greg.
Thanks. Greg Shatton, for the record. Listening to this, and speaking entirely in my personal capacity, of course, seems like there's some backpedaling going on here. The board seemed quite confident that they had this solution, and they focused a lot on enforceability, frankly, quite a lot more than I thought they should, because there's a lot more to our proposal than just court enforceability. But they assured us that they had a way that we, the community, could enforce in court the powers that we were looking for. And we asked about it, and they dismissed as a detail and a technicality. And all the lawyers that I was communicating with, and myself, of course, any kind of training in this were scratching our heads because we couldn't picture it. And we were waiting with bated breath for this unicorn to emerge, this magic bullet that would allow an entity without standing to go to court. And now we're told that they don't have it. I'm concerned with kind of the method of communication as much as I am, maybe even more, with the substance. Frankly, disagreement is entirely appropriate. It's a good thing. It's part of coming to an understanding and asking good questions. But, you know, being told that everything is an enhancement and that we agree with everything, and yet if it comes down to it, there's disagreement, and being told that we have solutions to your, you know, root fundamental issue, this thing we've spent, you know, far too much time talking about, and then being told we don't, you know, there seems to be a lot of spin going on here that I think is unhelpful. And I think being more frank and calling a difference, rather than being told that it's an enhancement. I apologize for any perceived lack of compliance with the standards of behavior. But the phrase that keeps coming back to my mind is, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. Thank you.
Thomas,
Thanks. Thanks, Greg. Actually, you've expanded my knowledge of the English language by a term that hopefully I won't have to use in the near future. So thanks for that. I heard somebody trying to get in the queue on the phone. Is that you, Caboose?
Yes. Good evening, Caboose. Or good afternoon, good day. Please kindly announce me that I'm joining the group without any Adobe connection. And tell me where we are. I'm very sorry, and I apologize for the connection, but I want to know, if possible, very briefly, where we are. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Caboose. We are discussing the second agenda item, which is the board interaction and next steps. We have started the discussion surrounding the board input, and after Greg's intervention, I think it's worthwhile reminding everyone that, you know, we had already communicated our frustration with the way the board had characterized its agreement, which was felt to be, at least in part, actually a disagreement. I think this message or these discussions today will also make its way to the full board. We have a couple of board members present on the call today. So I think we should not dwell on that for longer. What I'm hearing loud and clearly from the group is that we do need further detail to take action, to assess the board's position. I also take note of Jordan's offer to have a discussion with WP1 members and the board members that that have been working on the budget, community power, to maybe facilitate the exchange of thoughts and building bridges or reconciling differences between the different positions. So I think we should convey this offer to the board, or maybe Bruce. I'm not sure whether Bruce is already on the call, but we will make sure that Bruce gets to know this so that he, as our board liaison, can convey that message to the board. I don't see any further hands raised, so what I'm taking away as a final remark is that we're eagerly awaiting substantial explanations from the board, and after having gone through those, we will continue with the assessment and see what we can make out of that input that we will receive. So with that, let me just check. So Jonathan has raised his hand. So Jonathan, the floor is yours.
Oh, thanks. Just briefly, I just wanted to underscore what Steve said. As far as waiting for the board's reaction, I think we're far less interested in them fleshing out their plan than fleshing out their problems with ours. That seems to be the higher priority item. And so I'm less than interested in them decorating their tree and more figuring out, you know, exactly what their issues are with ours and why there's a need for another proposal, given the work that went into this one. So they said they had those issues as well. So if we can give the board some guidance, it might be to prioritize the issues they have with our existing proposal and document why they have those beliefs.
That's a very good point, Jonathan, and I should have made reference to that in my recap. Sebastian.
Yes, thank you, Sebastian. Thank you, Thomas. It seems that the board is working on the putting what they have done for the GAC advice on the new GTLD with 1A, 1B, and 2 to see where they are close to to the proposal of what is on the current document or far, or if it needs to be work with them differently. And I think it's what really we need as a group. It's not too much to have another proposal made by the board. And we must insist on that we are not waiting for an alternative proposal. We are waiting for comments on the current proposal. And when I say comments on the current proposal, it could be on the proposal, on the view, alternative view, or on the minority report. they have a lot of flexibility of what they can say and tell us on that. And with that, it will be easier to build a discussion than if we have to compare two proposals. And we are not yet at the end of finalizing the proposal of this working group, because we are waiting for the end of the second comment period and the work we will done after that with the comments received. And it's not the time, and I hope there will be no time for that, to have a counter proposal, but just comments on the work done by this group. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. And I take from that the notion of asking the board to prioritize their concerns, and maybe I can add that it would be valuable for our group to understand better what concerns are versus new requirements versus maybe the implementation thereof. So I think, Sebastian, that's very helpful advice. So, you know, not just fleshing out the counter-proposal or what's perceived to be a counter-proposal and decorating the tree, as Jonathan called it, but actually going through our report, identifying its perceived weaknesses and certainly a rationale for the perceived weaknesses. So I suggest that we take those points that we heard from the group and put those into a written communication to the board to make our position clear. There was a hand raised by CCWGACCT as a username, and this hand has now been lowered, but I would have been interested in finding out who is behind that acronym. So I'm not sure whether that individual still wants to speak, and if so, please, by all means, make yourself heard.
Excuse me, Cavus wants to talk, if possible.
Cavus, the floor is yours.
Yes, thank you, Thomas. I think whatever letter or communication with the board, I think you have sufficient element from the reaction of a distinguished CCWG member indicating their disappointment and frustrations of the sort of the comments which were made that in some instances were totally contradicting. They said they agree with everything, but they want more details, but they did not mention what details they want. On the other instance, they said that they would have alternative proposals, and without mentioning what that alternative proposal is and what is the legal justification or legal document or argument behind that. And they said that it would be on Monday. I think the Monday passed, and I think it is not appropriate that we slow down our activities. We should our work, but we should indicate that it is not supposed that the board take a veto approach, saying that implicitly this doesn't work. I think we have worked for months and so on and so forth. We have not had any valid argument and any valid proposals. Therefore, we think you have to mention the disappointment and disagreement and frustration, but the exact wording is lies between all those comments that CCWG already made, and I request kindly the co-chair to go through those comments that are made by Jordan, by many other people, by Malcolm, and pick up something and put them together and communicate to the board the preliminary reaction of the CCWG. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. We take note of that point to make reference to comments that have been made on the list, and I think there have been some remarkably well-written interventions on the list, so I guess this has been very helpful. I also, I'd also like to point out Avi's note, which has been very well thought out and very well articulated, but so that we will take that on board, and let me see whether there are more hands raised. That does not seem to be the case, so I suggest that we as co-chairs, we prepare communication, including the points that that we've collected during this call, and we will convey those to the board. And with that, I'd like to hand over to Mathieu to guide us through the third agenda item.
Thank you very much, Thomas. This is Mathieu Veil speaking. Our third agenda item is about documenting our work. And we were just talking about how the board needs to document their concerns. And I think we need to also be very aware of the expectations that are placed upon us on regarding documentation. Two key items there. One is that it's part of our charter that when we submit our final report to the board for transmission to the NTIA, our group is expected to provide, and I quote, documentation of the process that was followed, including but not limited to documenting the process of building consensus within the CCWG accountability and public consultations. That's one aspect of documentation. The other aspect is that we have received some feedback already in this public comment period that shows that there's expectation for additional documentations and details in some parts of our proposal. And so whatever the next steps are, we need to prepare ourselves for further documenting. And on your screen, you'll see four of the key building blocks of our proposal, where we know we will have to provide more documentation. On the principal side, there were requests for us to provide more details on the changes between the existing bylaws and the proposed changes in the bylaws, and comment on those changes, and it was provided already by Becky on this list and actually shared widely. So that was an additional point of documentation, which was certainly expected. On the IRP, there are two aspects that need a number of details. The process for selection of the panelists still remains to be implemented. And there's also an expectation and some feedback that people are very keen on seeing in more details the kind of rules of procedure that would be drawn from our recommendations. And so the question for us is when and how we can start running on working on this. Similar concerns can appear on the request for reconsideration process, especially on the rules of procedure. There's not so much of an issue with the process for selection of panelists there because it's bound to go to the ombudsman. And on the single model, and a community forum is a request to document the rationale, how we got there, and that's work that is already quite documented but might need some refreshing, as well as initial feedbacks regarding the need for more details on the community forum. Of course, there's also a need to provide more details on the actual bylaws on the various aspects of our work. And before we ask any questions on this, I think we should put that on the side. There is a coordination ongoing between CWG and CCWG about bylaw drafting. A call took place last week with the co-chairs of the CWG and Icon Legal and the lawyers, and the law firms, so that we are expecting a plan by the end of the week provided by Icon Project Management, which is being put in place. So that will be obviously shared with the CCWG at that point. Those are the key work areas that we are seeing at this point. We'd like to call for the group for anything that would be that would be needing additional documentation that we would need to keep track of, as well as identify with the group whether there are some priorities or items that can be, where work can be launched as soon as possible, or even volunteers, obviously, if possible, in the group. So that's it for my introductory remarks. I've been long enough. And I see that Alan has raised his hand in the Adobe room. So, Alan, please take the floor.
Thank you very much. On item number one, the principles, which the question was asked in the chat, I think that refers to core values, mission, and things like that. I had asked for a table with the current ones and the proposed ones in the second draft, which was received. But I believe after that, someone else asked for a third column to be added, including the rationale for why the change was being made. The first draft proposal had something akin to that. It wasn't quite a rationale, but it was a bit of background behind it. But we have no rationale at all about why the changes were made between the first draft and the second draft. So I think the request was to compare the original with the current draft and explain why. I don't believe I saw that. If I did, I wish someone would point me to it because I haven't seen it fly by me. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I think that was an attempt at the why that I saw in Becky's document, but certainly we should double-check that and put an action item to have this circulated again to check, and we'll certainly that will give you the opportunity to review whether you think that's appropriate, rational, or not. Checking in the chat because I'm seeing a lot of movement there. There are questions about the process for bylaw drafting, but once again, there was a discussion where we said we would attempt to have the division of work that is now being worked on. And I would suggest that we wait for the project plan and the actual deliveries before assessing whether that was a decision to be updated. Steve is reminding me as well that he has volunteered to start drafting an explanation of how our proposal affects interactions with government and the GAC, which I think was a request that was made earlier at some point, and is currently work in progress. One of the questions we've received was, for example, how the GAC advice will be factored into the new process. Obviously with some uncertainties about whether the GAC is a voting member or not at this point. Any other points to take into account? Any ideas of priorities? I've heard a lot of feedback on the community forum details, so I would tend to consider this as a point where it would be valuable for our group to pursue a little more work on exactly how it would work. We couldn't even go as far as suggesting some form of showcasing in an experimental community forum at some point, so that we are we answer any concerns about the details of this particular process and enable documentation. Jordan's work party one, I think, would be Jordan. Your hand is raised.
Yeah. Thank you, Matthew. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Yeah. Thanks. WP1 did do some further detail work on this, but I think it got caught up in the rush to finalize the report, and we all agreed it would be easier to take it out. And so there is some more text already, and I think you know, depending on what other WP1 colleagues feel, it would be viable to get some more done on that relatively quickly. We could hold a meeting early next week before the next CCWG call, if there's appetite to it. I'll just send an email to the list now, if you like, and ask people if they're prepared to do some work on it.
Thank you for volunteering, Jordan. Would there be any objection to that? And I'm turning to Malcolm for furthering the exchange, but if there's any objection to work part one, actually fleshing out the details of the community forum, please voice them. Malcolm?
I was just going to add that the similar comment applies to the IRP. If more detail is needed on that, the working party that was looking at the IRP had actually produced a draft set of bylaws changes. That didn't make it into the final document either, largely because we ran out of time and we didn't have a chance to run that by our own council, which it was being, we were wondering whether that was needed or maybe it might have been suggested. Anyway, the point being that those draft bylaws provide some considerable extra detail to how the rules of procedure and other matters related to the IRP would work. So that work is kind of already done and waiting to be used.
Thank you, Malcolm. So we would have at this point details on the practicalities of the community forum being worked on by Work Party 1 and furthering work on IRP-related bylaw changes, which were actually drafted, I remember, in July. Some drafts were circulating. And that would certainly require joint work with our legal advisors, I guess. Becky is not on the call, I believe. But I think I would tend to recommend a call with the lawyers on the drafts pretty early, so we get that going in more details, if the group agrees. Okay, it seems to be something we can task as in terms of action items, both working parties, and including a request for our independent legal advisors to participate to the initial calls so that we have a view of the workload that would be associated with this task on their side. But it would be a sort of a kickoff call before certifying the request. And I think this would already put us in the process of documenting what's really needed at this point. So the three action items from actually these two agenda points are recirculate the document on the mission core value and commitments change so we can check we are okay with the rationale. Work party one to further flesh out the details of community forum. And IRP to work party two to initiate a call with about the draft bylaws along with the lawyers so we can organize further work on this. And we would update on the next CCWG call, hopefully, on these items. Malcolm, is that an old hand?
Apologies, yes.
Wants to speak, if possible. Yes, Cavus, please.
Yes, just some sort of inconsistencies. Under number 610 of our reports, we talk about a stress test 18. Under number 831, we again talk about a stress test 18. That means there is a repetition. Why two times they are appeared? Number one. Number two, even if they are appeared two times, there is some inconsistencies between number 612 and 833. We are talking of the same subject. The wording are different. In fact, the entire 831 up to the end is equal to 610 up to the end of that. So my question, number one, why we have two times stress test 18? And number two, even if we have two times, why there are some inconsistencies in number 612, which is exactly identical appearance in 833? The wording are not the same. This is one point. And the other point, how many stress tests we have? Under number 642, we talk about 26. Whereas we have more than 26, I believe I have 36 or 37. So there is some sort of slight alignment to be consistent. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. Steve, would you like to give a brief answer, and then probably that's something that can be expanded on the list?
Sure. Hey, Cavus, it's Steve Del Bianco. On your second point, you're right. We should no longer say 26 stress tests, and we need to update that so it reflects the new number. And then your other point was, why are a couple of stress tests mentioned twice? There are two of them, stress test 18, the one you brought up, but also number 14. And the reason that 14 and 18 are mentioned in the middle of our report is that those two stress tests generated bylaws changes in and of themselves in order to address the stress test. For 14, it was to bring the affirmation of commitments into the bylaws. And for 18, as you know, it was to make a small change to the way ICANN reacts to GAC advice if it comes over with or without consensus. And the reason that those show up twice is we needed to articulate why we were making those bylaws changes in that part of the report. At the very end of the report, all the stress tests are shown, but the bylaws changes that suggested from 14 and 18 are not part of that section, since that's just a recitation of all of the stress tests. I will double-check to make sure there's no inconsistencies in the wording on the way 18 is described. And thank you.
Thank you, Steve. And we'll take note of the action item to double-check there's no inconsistency in this. I think that's always valuable to do all the double-checks on our report. And I'm seeing no other hand. I would like to...
Marcio, this is Roloff. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Yes, Roloff. Would you like to speak?
No, I have no comment at the moment. I just wanted to let you know that I'm not in the room, but I'm on the bridge, which, by the way, was quite difficult because first I didn't have audio out, and then they simply didn't pick up the phone. But I'm there now, and you can hear me, so that's good.
Well, we're glad you could join, Roloff, and glad you're with us now. We'll close this agenda item, and obviously noting one of the comments that was made by Hoche in the chat, which is that obviously this further work is contingent on the assumption that those items would remain in the final report. But I think those two items are worth pursuing anyway. And with that, I will now turn back to my fellow co-chair, Thomas, for the next agenda item. Thomas?
Thank you very much, Mathieu. We would like to discuss with you now the question of a face-to-face meeting later this month. We had conducted a doodle poll, and there seem to be some dates that are preferable over other dates. So, Alice, maybe you can let us know what the analysis or the outcome of that was. But, in fact, we're seeing everything in front of us. So what we can see from the doodle poll is that there's a preference by this group, a slight preference, I should say, on the 25th and 26th of this month to conduct a meeting. We have not yet discussed whether the meeting should actually take place. There have been some pros and cons on a meeting exchanged on the list as well as during the phone calls that we had with the board. I think it, you know, before I open up the queue for your interventions, let me just make very clear that I think we need to do what we can in order to avoid the impression by the outside community that such a face-to-face meeting is a negotiation between the board and the CCWG to work on details in a fashion bypassing the community. So I think that's definitely the signal that we don't want to send. And I guess that our group is very clear, as well as board members that we get feedback from, that this is an impression that must be avoided. But apart from that, the question is if a face-to-face meeting so close to the upcoming ICANN meeting in Dublin is something we should take into consideration. And I would very much appreciate the board, the views of this group so that we can have a robust discussion about this. Alan.
Thank you. 2 points. On the selection of days, I'll note the 27th has a slight preference in turn when you add in the yeses and if need be's over the other dates. In terms of whether there should be a meeting or not, I certainly wouldn't want it to be deemed to be a negotiation. If the board has indeed presented stuff that we can discuss in a substantive way by then, I believe the meeting could be very useful. If they have not, I suspect the meeting will be very useful to us as a mechanism, as part of the process in addressing all of the comments that we're getting. So I think either way, the meeting could be quite useful to the CCWG. Whether the board is an active participant in that will depend on whether they deliver something that we can actually discuss. Thank you.
Thomas, I have one comment.
Yes, I put you in the queue, Caboose. Let's hear Jordan first and then Caboose.
Thanks, Thomas. I feel very in two minds about the idea of a call, a meeting or not. I think that we should decide based mainly on our own workflow. If we think getting together what would inevitably be not quite a full complement because of the short notice to help finalize the proposal that's due out on the 9th of October, at that point is useful, then I think we should probably do it, either to finish digesting the public comments or any kind of internal discussions that we need. I think if we decide that's useful, we should do it regardless of whether there's a perception risk that we're negotiating with the board. If we did do that meeting in LA and the board was there and we had a discussion with them to further understand their concerns, that could be okay as long as we also did the same by remote or directly with other groups that had significant points to make, so it was more balanced than just the board. But if it was just a meeting to confab with the board, I'd be strongly opposed to it.
Thanks very much, Jordan. Caboose?
Yes, I understand the meeting, if I understood it correctly, 25th and 26th. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And it is in California. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Some people, like me as a member of ICG, we have ICG meeting more or less very, very close to that meeting. It would not be beneficial to come and back again after 3 days to the same place and so on and so forth. So at least first should be some logistic arrangement for the ICG members if they want to attend 25th and 26th. They are also liaison to CCWG. And second, we should have clear, objective agenda for that, what we are going to discuss. And we should receive the detailed information of what we are going to discuss at least 7 days before the start of the meeting. We are not going to go there and start from the scratch and exchange of information. It would be quite inefficient if we do not properly manage and organize and plan that meeting.
However, these two issues, first for the logistics of the ICG members attending CCWG, and second is the usefulness and efficiency and well-preparation with good material of that meeting and well-organized agenda of that meeting. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Kavuz. Greg?
Thanks. Greg Shatton for the record. I have a few concerns about the face-to-face. We've talked a bit more about what it isn't or what it shouldn't be, as opposed to what it is, that it shouldn't be a negotiation. And also, but it's not, I agree with Kavuz, we need an agenda, and we need to understand, you know, if the board is coming to talk about specific issues with our proposal or only about, you know, enhancing their proposal. It's not going to be very useful if it's only the second or if they're not prepared to do the first. I mean, that I think, you know, their approach really, I think, needs adjustment for it to be a really useful meeting, and we need to understand what would take place. And furthermore, you know, I think it's going to be difficult for anyone who's not funded or in some fashion, clearly, to get there. So those of us who are mere participants, even if we've participated in quite a lot, I think I've participated in about 85% of the whole meeting, as well as WP1, WP2, and a number of other things. You know, I'll have to participate remotely. So as far as being face-to-face, I don't suppose my face will be there. Lastly, I just want to point out it's going to take two, really probably 4 days, given travel, for those who are face-to-face. Take 4 days out of our time to deal with all of the comments of everybody else. So in terms of the larger community, you know, it's actually going to set us back. So need to do a cost-benefit analysis on that point. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Phil? Phil Corwin, it's your turn.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, I didn't hear you call me. Thank you. Philip Corwin for the record. Let me state at the outset, I don't have a firm view at this point about whether a meeting should be held. If one is held, I'll be participating remotely. However, I don't believe a meeting should be held unless it is very well understood what its purpose is, what will be discussed, and what the expected outcome is. The call the other night was uncomfortable, possibly counterproductive. The thought of 1 or 2 days of face-to-face repetition of that is something that none of us wants. We have to, I don't understand what the purpose, how this meeting fits into the overall evaluation of all the comments that are going to be received by the CCWG, which I believe will be both many in number and quite voluminous in their comments. Are the board's views to be treated with given more weight because they are perceived as a critical party, or less weight because this is a plan about making the board more accountable? But I think no matter how you characterize it, Bruce Tonkin's been engaged on this subject. When I first raised these questions, he said, well, we can invite different parts of the community as well to talk. Well, they're already on the CCWG, so I think that's a distinction without a difference. More recently, in the last 24 hours, he said the meeting should be probably best focused on some issues, but not on enforceability, that will take longer to tee up. So, to finish up, I think the perception is going to be that whether or not this is a negotiation, it's some type of summit meeting between the board and the CCWG. And in the world of politics, one never holds a summit meeting to negotiate. One holds a summit meeting to sign an agreement that's been negotiated quietly over extended time and has now been brought to a conclusion. So At this point, I wouldn't weigh in and say don't hold the meeting, but I would say be extremely cautious in understanding why the meeting is being held and what how the board's views are going to be fit in into the CCDWG's evaluation of all the many comments it's going to be receiving. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Phil. We have Robin next.
Hi, this is Robin Gross. Can you hear me?
Faintly. If you could speak up a little bit, that would be much appreciated.
Okay. Is this any better? I moved in closer to your microphone.
It's okay-ish, I should say.
We have a lot of work to do. Hang on one second. Let me get some.
Can you hear me better now?
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, it's better.
Okay, great. So we have a lot of work to do ourselves within the CCWG. And so I think for that reason, an LA meeting would be useful for us to continue to hammer out some of the details in our own proposal. But I don't think it would be useful to organize it as a meeting with the board or a negotiation with the board or even that focuses on the board's proposals or the board's concerns. I think we can take those proposals and those concerns into consideration with all the other comments and proposals that have come forward and evaluate them as we would evaluate all of the comments and proposals at that time. So I think it would be useful for us to have a meeting to go through some of these details, but I don't think it should be focused on the board's report, and I think the agenda needs to be set by the CCWG and the goals set by the CWG and really focused on our workflow and our work needs and not so much what the board's wishes are here. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Robin. Sebastian?
Thank you very much, Thomas. Sebastian Bachelet. Yeah, I really think that for our work it will be useful to have this face-to-face meeting, but we can't say to the board, we don't want to talk with you. They are part of the community and we need to take into account that they are willing to talk with us. And the big difference between the call we have last week and the face-to-face meeting is that we will be able to have them in front of us and all of them, hopefully. And it will not be the same that just have two people talking to us. And I really think that it's important. There are one major piece in all our work, and we need to talk with them. I am not afraid that what will happen, they will not violate us, and no worries, they are good people, then let's talk with them. And my other point is that we need to, now that we have a doodle, we need to open the possibility to have some discussion with the board, to have some time with them, then from Friday 25 to Tuesday 29, there are a lot of people available, then it must be not just taking 2 days and say it's like that, but open some discussion with them to see where it fits better. And I do hope that we will be able to have this face-to-face meeting. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. Christopher.
Hi, good evening. I'm on a phone line. I hope it's working okay. Frankly, I'm a little bit skeptical about this proposal. First of all, the doodle doesn't make it clear whether the folk who are available in Lele or whether it's just available for remote. I think we need to be sure that whoever goes, and I will not be among those, I'm sure, whoever goes does in fact represent a cross-section of the global multi-stakeholder community. to date, CCWG and CWG have not really been very successful in outreach globally. That needs to be corrected, and especially needs to be corrected in terms of the funding of the folk who are actually going to go to this meeting if it takes place. May I also echo some of the concerns that Rolf has also adumbrated. If we go in an antagonistic frame of mind vis-a-vis the board, I doubt that the meeting will be a success. After all, you and your constituencies have elected or appointed the board members. They are granted accountable to the community, but the community put them there in the first place. So the antagonistic dimension of the recent exchanges is understandable given the frustrations that some of you experience, but if it's transported into the meeting itself, it will fail. So I think I've told other colleagues that I'm a little bit skeptical about this proposal, but if the meeting goes ahead, well, you get the idea. It needs to be representative. It needs to reflect a full cross-section of the global interest in this affair, which, I mean, Greg has generously said that he will not be there, but in the doodle he says he's available. So I assume that this is online. Guys, you need a wake-up call in terms of your representativity, and that needs to be above all expressed in the presence of the people who go to a meeting, if that is eventually confirmed. Thank you.
Thanks, Christopher. Roloff?
Thank you. Roloff Meyer for the record. I would like to start with saying here, Christopher, especially on the second bit. I'm not too sure about the representation bit. I think that's really putting the threshold a bit too high, but I'm in favor of such a meeting if certain conditions are met. And most important, too, are, first of all, that indeed we leave the antagonism behind and we go there in an open way, a constructive way, with the intention of working out the differences between the board and our working group, and not with the intention of stressing those differences. And secondly, I think it is only useful to have such an exchange with the board if we have the compilation of their ideas well in advance. Taking into account that a face-to-face meeting needs travel preparations, it is the question, and we will only be sure that we have that pretty close before departure, and people have to make arrangements before that. So I think alternatively, I think it was Ellen who suggested that, if in the end it doesn't work out and we cannot have a meeting with the board, but we have a meeting planned and people have prepared for the trip, I think it could then be very useful to do some heavy lifting on the comments we have received on our second draft.
Thanks, Roloff. Malcolm?
Thank you. I'm somewhat balanced on this meeting. My initial reaction to the suggestion, although I would personally find it very inconvenient, was much along the lines of Sebastian's. If the board would like to talk to us, then we should be open to talk to them, and I would make personally every sinew to be there, even though I cannot guarantee it. I am already clashed out. But on the other hand, the points that have been raised against it on the list and a few just now, actually, I find quite persuasive as well, so I think it's a difficult call as to whether this meeting should take place, whether it's ready to take place or not. However, there was one point that was made previously, and one of the earlier speakers raised it again. the idea that the board would not be willing, not be ready to discuss enforceability or how their proposals would achieve enforceability by the time of that meeting. So that would have to be off the table. That would have to be something that would have to be parked to be left till later. I would strongly object to a meeting conducted on that basis. I think that would be very counterproductive. I think those of us that consider that enforceability is crucial would find it very difficult to understand whether even to listen to proposals that there was no basis for understanding whether or not they contained an element of enforceability or not. I think it would be extremely frustrating. I think that a lot of people would end up being tempted to channel Everhard in that meeting. It would be potential dialogue back considerably as it raised the temperature. I don't think it would be constructive. If this meeting goes ahead, it must be on the basis that there is a full discussion, that that nothing is off the table, and that we are able to discuss all aspects of it. Anything else, I think, would be highly detrimental.
Thanks very much, Malcolm. Now we have no further hands raised, or we only have old hands raised. So I think it's time to take stock of what we've discussed. Let me try to summarize the main arguments that we've heard. I think that that the group is in agreement that a face-to-face meeting, if conducted, must be well prepared, that it must fit into the CCWG's workflow, that it should be as inclusive as possible, that in order to be inclusive, additional travel funding for participants should be asked for, that we need, in order to discuss a board's position, we need to have a good documentation of the board's thoughts, and there shouldn't be any conditions for these discussions. Paraphrasing Malcolm's point, and that there should not be any suggestion that this is a negotiation between the board and the CCWG. So rather, the mandate of that meeting should be kept more open to consider community input as such and not only input from the board. At the same time, we've heard encouragement that we should be discussing with the board, that we should embrace the opportunity to work more with them. And I think in that sense, it is hardly possible to confirm a meeting at the moment, because I guess we're lacking the information in order to make a decision whether or not it suits the CCWG's workflow and whether we can have it sufficiently well prepared with the documentation that is obviously requested by this group. Now, Sebastian, you've raised your hand.
Yes, I will try not to be too punchy in what I will say. I really think you need to consider that there will be something like 20 board members plus some advisors, and if we are 100, it will not match and it will not work. And I personally disagree with the fact that we need to find more funding. We have member of this working group. I know that you are trying to have everybody included, but here, really, for this meeting, I do think that it must be a balanced meeting. And to have a balanced meeting, the 20-plus member of the CCWG and the 20 board member will be good and will be good enough. And we need to ensure that all is a webcast, audio, and recorded, and so on and so forth. But I do think that we need to try to have a balanced participation. If not, it will not work. If the board see us as 100 people, it will be bad for the mood of the meeting. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. That's food for thought. The Cavus has spoken up, so Cavus, it's your turn now, and afterwards I'd like to close the queue.
Can I talk?
Yes, please do.
Yeah, Thomas, I don't think I could agree with Sebastian for several reasons. First, many valid comments, and in fact very constructive comments, came during this period from the participants. I'm not talking of myself. I'm not participant, I'm a liaison. But other participants, very knowledgeable people. So we should not limit it to the distinguished member of the CCWG. Otherwise, we would not be benefited from this very valuable information and contribution from them. Second, I don't think that we could make a balance between this. We should be representing the community and as much as possible should attend. I'm not talking of funding of the meeting, that is not my business, but I don't think that we should limit the number of participants to be equal to the 20 board or 16 board directors plus advisors and so on and so forth. This is not the valid reasons. If you want to be effective, we should be effective. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cavus. We will take that into consideration. I also take note of the request, which I thought I'd made sufficiently clear, that this would be a meeting from us, a CCWG meeting, to which the board can be invited. I also take note of Eberhard Liss's request that we chair the meeting, although I would like to ask him to clarify whether he actually wants the team of co-chairs to chair the meeting, since he has characterized the co-chairs as inept publicly. Clearly, all this says that this should be an exercise by this cross-community working group, and that we should make sure that we set the agenda for this. So we will take this. We will take this offline. We will let the board know that we are continuing to make a decision on this, and we will let them know about the points that have been made in this group, and I guess we will then be able to make a decision on this after we have seen all the comments coming in, including the comments from the board, and make it fit into our workflow. So with that, I'd like to close this agenda item and hand it back over to Mathieu for the next item, which is AOB. So I'm not sure whether Mathieu maybe has an audio issue.
Yes.
So
no, I'm talking to a muted microphone, Thomas.
Okay, there you go.
So welcome back. Any other business? I have no specific AOB to share at this point. If there's any in the room, now is the time to raise them.
One comment, if you allow me.
Yes, Cavus, please.
Yes, maybe I missed the discussion. Have you prepared an arrangement on how to analyze all comments received and how to proceed, taking into account the very limited time that we have before us, and taking into account that if this face-to-face meeting will take place, they will take a lot of our time and eat a lot of our time for that one. So did you make some arrangement on how you proceed? You take the same process that you have for the first public comment, or you have a different process? This is just a question. I may miss the arrangement. I'm sorry if I do that or I did that. Apologize. But if not, please, if possible, in 2 or 3 minutes, explain the process that I understand. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus, and I don't think you missed anything. The arrangement we have announced last time is that staff is getting organized to provide us with the detailed public comment tool, providing answers, analyzing the answers we are going to get by Friday, and it's the delivery date is next Tuesday, 15th of September. So they are organizing to work over the weekend and deliver this as soon as possible. Then we will need to summarize what feedback we've received, whether it's support, whether it's concerns, whether it's objections in the various areas, and then potentially adjust our report. So we would work on the same basis as the initial first public comment. But the idea of this face-to-face is sort of blurring the agenda right now, so it's quite difficult to plan with this. So it's a connected item. But at least be ready for the end of the public comment on Friday and the public comment tool delivered on 15th of September. Next in line is Steve.
Thanks, Matthew. I simply wanted to note that in the business constituency, we're having a tough time knowing what to say about the input of the board because we're trying to finalize our comments on the CCDFG proposal, of course, by this Saturday, and we have a review period. So I'm wondering if other folks on this call are specifically addressing this sort of, ill-defined criticisms that we have heard from the board and a unspecified counterproposal. Are you putting any of that in your comments that you're filing this week? And thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Steve. I don't know if others want to share their own experience, but I would tend to say that the current questions on the table is regarding the CCWG report, and that it's obviously quite difficult to comment on the comments of others until they've been put in writing. As a consequence, I would probably advise that let's keep the comments focused on the existing reports. Support is much welcome, as well as concerns, as well as objections, and then we'll have to adjust or assess whether we get the relevant level of support to finalize our report. I see Keith is providing information about registry stakeholder groups comments, Robin on the NCSG, and okay. And I think with that, we are going to close this call. I'd like to thank everyone for the very constructive approach and comments. I think we are all aware of the importance of the next few days and weeks, and that communication is going to be key with all stakeholders. And for that, we need to be very transparent about where we are and where we're going, and wish that everyone plays in the same direction, because we're all basically in the same boat here. So thanks all, everyone, and looking forward to our further calls in the next few days. I think we'll reconvene next Tuesday for a formal CCWG call. Thanks, and have a good day or night, depending on where you are. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye all.